Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 26 of the PeteCraft podcast. Joining me today, we have Abelito.
Hey.
And we have Dobbs.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And we are going to talk today about a new build, I guess you'd call it, for Mistweavers, the Rising Mist build. Before we get started, how has Mistweaver been doing overall this tier, this patch?
This tier over the expansion?
This tier, like 8.3 Nyalotha.
They've been doing alright. There's some people who are actually playing the Rising Mist build, and they're doing real good. And there's the people that aren't, who are doing okay.
Yeah, I'd say from a competitive standpoint, I mean, we're still not Glimmer or Disc, you know. I'd put us pretty solidly at fourth, because Shamans have a lot of utility that you'd want to bring to end-tier fights. But yeah, Mistweaver's like pretty reasonably strong, considering our historical standings.
So better, you would say, than in Eternal Palace?
300%.
Oh, yeah. Like night and day difference between Eternal Palace and now.
Nice. So monks have two good specs at the moment.
Feels good, man.
It's weird.
So, what exactly is the Rising Mist build? What makes it different from just the regular old, I don't know, throw Essence Font and Renewing Mist out kind of playstyle?
So, this playstyle focuses a lot more on preemptive work. You know, you get some Renewing Mists out there, and then Rising Mist will allow you to put in some pretty substantial extensions to those HOTs. There are people who are running like insane haste builds that are able to get like something like 11 or 12
renewing mists out at a time. At some
yeah, point. like a ludicrous amount up at one
What's
time.
The normal amount for?
Before Rising Mist, you could max out at 4 if you use Thunder Focus T on Renewing Mist, but typically you would have 2 or 3.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Renewing Mist is like pretty substantial fraction of your overall healing done, right?
Typically in like Eternal Palace and before, it would be like in your top 5, but it's a very passive. You hit it, you forget about it. It helps Vivify, but the healing that it provides for Vivify doesn't get factored back into it.
Well, that's actually a really interesting bit of it. So these extra renewing mists you get out, they work like fully with Vivify, right? When Vivify cleave heals, they get the full benefit.
Yep.
Oh yeah. And that's why it's become so powerful, is when you hit like a burst window, essentially, you can really pump out some serious healing to the point where it's actually not a good idea to hit Essence Font at all nearing those windows, you know. It's just
wow.
It's just stronger to hit a Vivify.
You cut out there.
Oh, sorry. It's just stronger to hit Vivify instead of Essence Font. I believe it's at like 5 or so rems.
Yeah, at 5 renewing mists, if you take the same time to cast Vivify versus Essence Font, you'll do more healing just hitting Vivify. And it's kind of a new fun playstyle.
That's awesome. If I remember correctly, like this was the kick weaving build that people were kind of hyped about from way back in BFA Alpha Beta, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly that. This is like pre-nerf fist weaving. They saw how strong it was going to be, I guess, and the devs got real scared and nerfed the hot extensions on renewing or Rising Mist down to 2 seconds instead of 4. Actually, so I can't remember. It might have even been 3 seconds. It's been a while.
I want to say it was 3 seconds, but the heal was like 66% stronger or something that it did.
Yeah.
So, what changed, I guess, that we went from Renewing Mist just, I don't think anybody used it except for memes before 8.3,
Renewing
what
Mist
changed to make
Mist?
It good?
I think you meant Rising Mist there.
Sorry, did I say Renewing Mist?
Yeah, there's a lot of mist that we're going to talk about here.
Yeah, welcome to the wonderful naming scheme of Mistweaver Monks.
Hey, Brewmaster's got it too. We got our Fort Brews, and we got our Ironskin Brews, and we got our Purifying Brews, and we got the Oddball Healing Elixir that breaks the mold. But yeah, what changed to make Rising Mist good?
So between 2.5 or 8.2.5 and 8.3, they decided to buff Rising Mist a whole lot because it was basically like inting your guild or whoever you were playing with if you were taking it by like doubling the extension of the hot duration from 2 seconds to 4 seconds, and then making the heal that it does by default 33% stronger, which the heal part isn't a crazy part, but the renewing mist factor, like the extension of the hots, is the crazy part.
So I guess that healing extension is what's allowing people to get, you know, 11, 12 renewing mists out. What was the number?
Yeah.
Do you guys know what the number was before these buffs?
So you would get, it was really bad, right? Because the extension was only 2 seconds. So you would essentially be losing the entire extension to the global of casting Rising Sun Kick itself, right? So you could get like maybe a couple more renewing mists out, like 5, if you're really swinging for the fences, but not anything like it is now. And to be fair, you can only really get insane numbers of renewing mists if you're running a high haste build where you're going to be burning through a lot of mana. In like a typical standard sort of build, you're gonna get like between 6 and 7 renewing mists out for your burst windows.
Okay,
which is still a great amount of renewing mists out at a time, especially with how
it's wonderful.
Work. Since renewing mist itself is a smart-ish heal, where if it overheals, it says, "Oh, is there anyone else hurt? Let me go to them instead." And it transfers itself in its entirety, like remaining duration and everything, to that person. So it has, you know, low overhealing, which means also your Vivify will do, you know, really low overhealing, unless you're spamming it when everybody's full health.
Right. So then those burst windows, is that kind of similar to Dispriest burst windows, where they've ramped their atonements out on the group and then, you know, the damage hits and they burst by, I guess, hitting the boss. You're bursting by spreading your renewing mists instead of atonement, and then vivify?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So it's similar to Disc in that we have cycles. Mistweaver's a lot slower to ramp. You know, we've got to... It takes... You know, with a Disc, they can hit a couple of Shadow Men's, and then they... You know, they'll hit their double radiance and then they're ready to go for their burst. For us, you know, we've got to use Thunder Focus T, we've got to weave in some renewing mists, we've got to hit the boss a couple times during downtime, fish for resets on Rising Sun Kick, and then if all goes according to plan, then we can hit a nice window when it happens. It's a little less reliable and it takes a little longer, but for high damage encounters like Nazoth, it doesn't really matter when your burst window is happening, because any time is a good time.
And then gotcha. To add to that, we're not as gimped, you could say, between burst windows, because while we are ramping, basically we can just heal like normal if we don't have to fish too hard. So there's no like, oh, I just used my double radiance and all my shadow mins and now they all my atonements fell off. I'm doing very little healing to anyone.
Yeah, that's very true. If we're not ramping, we can just go back to the normal, you know, run-of-the-mill playstyle. We hit Essence Font and heal like normal.
And that's actually one of the struggles sometimes, is Discs not having the greatest healing in between their burst windows. So having to figure out how to navigate those can sometimes be difficult.
Yeah, if your Disc doesn't... Yeah, it takes a very special sort of person to play Disc at a high level, right? Because they've got to be planning the entire fight out and then also changing it on the fly. It's too big brain for my green class playing guy.
And I think I probably have a little bit of a different perspective on it because I'm a tank, and this actually sucks at tank healing. So,
yeah, very true.
Which, that's one thing that Rising Mist like also allows us to do, is a lot of passive tank healing.
Yeah, because it also works on Enveloping Mist as well. So you can put all of your hots on the tanks and then extend them by quite a bit. Like, it proportionally, a really long time, right? Like, Enveloping Mist is by default like a 6-second heal. And then every time you kick, it's another 4 seconds on top of it. Like, it's nutty value.
And Enveloping Mist is, like, by itself a crazy amount of, like, healing it can do, just, like, for the duration it is. Like, it's like 30 or 40% of your like spell power per second or something like that. And then you're extending that, and it doesn't like retract how much it's going to do. It just keeps going at the same rate. And it's a healing boost to everything else.
That sounds juicy.
Yeah, you can. There was a couple moments during Vexiona Prague where I was, you know, both the tanks were taking pretty significant amounts of damage, and I just threw a Renewing Mist on both of them. An Enveloping Mist and a Renewing Mist on both of them, and then Rising Sun Kick, and I can kind of just ignore them, you know, and heal the group. And they get passively healed by my cleaves. They've got the extended Enveloping Mist on them, just doing work. So it feels really good for tank healing as well.
Yeah, it's also a very dangerous thing, because I've seen some logs. One was a heroic log where the person kept up 2 Enveloping Mists the whole, like, 3.5-minute encounter. He only casted 2 spells before the pull and never did it again, but had him up the whole fight. And then there were some from Mythic Rodin where they had 2 Enveloping Mists up for a minute plus throughout, I think, P2 of the fight.
Jeez, wow, I haven't seen those. Or I think I saw the first one, but not the Rodin one. That's nuts.
Yeah. Just don't look at the tank. The tank yells at you not to heal them, and you're like, I can't do anything about it. You're hotted up.
And I can't fucking wait to make my cancel aura macro. That's going to be such a pain. Oh, what do you mean I forgot to cancel this Azurite trait so that I could not get healed up before it?
Exactly.
So, if I remember correctly, the other talent on that row that people used to take would be, or maybe still take, is Upwelling. Can you still run Upwelling? Is that, like, you have a choice between the two, or is it all Rising Mist all the way?
So you won't get the same sort of like high peak efficiency sort of play, peak throughput play that you will out of Rising Mist. But, you know, if you're just playing like a standard sort of build, it still competes. You know, it didn't lose any power. So it's still a way that you can play if you're not a fan of Rising Mist.
Okay. And that, I guess, kind of gives a transition path, if you would, for people that maybe weren't futzing around on PTR and figuring out how to play Rising Mist to play Upwelling on fights they're not comfortable with yet, and then practice Rising Mist on other fights and not be inting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I've also been saying this for quite a while. I've always been of the opinion that Rising Mist should be at least a little stronger than Upwelling, right? Because Upwelling is such a passive way to play. It just changes, it just lets you sort of, it removes the punishment from not hitting Essence Font on cooldown. It just sort of just passively increases your stuff. You don't have to think about it ever. And I think that having like a talent on the same row that's an active component that you have to actually think about and has some risk involved should probably reward the player with stronger numbers.
Not to mention, since Rising Mist is tied to Rising Sun Kick, that means you're effectively taking up a melee slot now, right? In the same way that Holy Paladins do when they're playing Glimmer?
Yeah, absolutely. And some could say, like, well, yeah, the reward there for taking the melee slot is you're doing a little bit of extra passive damage that other healers might not. But passive damage is like something that's really important for basically every healer now. You know, if we're competing with Disc and Paladin, if you're not doing damage as a healer, you're kind of trolling.
And with Rising Mist, just like the fact that it's tied to our biggest DPS button, like the damage we do is kind of nice.
So what kind of damage are you looking at with this? Is this paladin disc level damage, or is it still kind of on the low end?
I mean, I would bump us up into like a good like middle ground, and depending on, you know, how lucky you are with procs and how focused you can be to DPS, you can get to paladin, but I don't think you'll get to disc. Like, you can easily do a 10k DPS without really trying too hard.
Yeah, I'd say without even trying at all, right? Like, I think pretty normal numbers are like between 12 and 15.
That's pretty respectable.
And like it's fine for it to be that way, you know, like not everyone has to do the most amount of damage. I think as long as we're in the ballpark of the other healers, then it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one thing that like we get over, you know, resto druid, shaman, and holy priest is when we're doing this damage, we're not giving up healing, or we're not like lowering our healing in the future. Like, this is just increasing our healing in the future. Like glimmer.
Right, it's just all upside, really.
Yeah.
So you mentioned high haste builds a lot. Is that like a substantially different stat priority than you would have used previously?
Oh yeah, I mean you value haste so much with the high haste builds that you want it over significant amounts of like any other stat. Like the weights like are silly.
Dropping eye level amounts of wanting it.
Yeah. I'd imagine you drop some eye level for like a particularly well statted haste piece. Now, to be clear for anyone listening, this is not I wouldn't recommend the high haste build to anyone who's like actively progging or anything like that.
Parse build.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Like, so, go ahead, Dob, sorry.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I don't mean to dominate the space here, but it requires a lot to go your way. And the numbers it can produce are insane, but it does require a lot to go your way. You need the fight to be short, you need several sources of external mana because it's very, very mana hungry. Now, luckily enough, most of the fights in this dungeon are pretty short, but I'm hesitant to see how it would fare on Mazoth, for example, that takes 13 minutes.
Or Rathion that can easily take, you know, 8 minutes.
But the one of the things on Rathion is that you have like such downtime in between where you don't really need to do anything and you can't do much that it's like Rathion's like, it's okay. Because it's like
so it's less like it's not fight length as much as it is.
Like, yeah,
actively be putting up HPS.
Yeah. So this is the sort of build, for example, on Mott works very good on Mott because you have infinite mana on that fight. It works very well on Shadhar because that fight lasts for like 3.5 minutes. I'm skeptical to see how it performs on some of the later bosses, but we'll see. But yeah, you can get away with doing it as long as you've got some crit inverse pieces in the bank just sort of waiting for you, you know.
Yeah. Gotcha. Like there are people that go like full on haste, like everything possible haste, even running Seabreeze and whatnot. And on like even Shadhar, like at 5 minutes, when I say that, like their fight is 5 minutes long, like they're at like 3:30. And that's with 3 innervates throughout that period. Like, you're burning your mana like it's nothing.
So it's a really, really efficient way to turn mana into healing, but...
But it requires a lot of mana to get there, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, on this log I'm talking about, the dude did 180k HPS on Shadhar, and I think that's, like, the number 2 log, or number 3 if you include the Demon Hunter that solo tanked it.
Jeez.
Yep. Corruption is fine, by the way. Yeah, I'm looking at our re-kill from last night, and our top healer did 108k. And we are 5 healing that. I don't know how many healers you guys run, Dobbs, but 180k. Shadhar.
Right. Yeah, we usually 5 heal, or we did 5 heal, but now we've 4 heal.
Still 180k HPS. That's something.
Oh, it's yeah.
if you look at the log, it's like he's at like 180k, and I want to say like the next healers are like 80k or something, but there's still five healing it. They're,
I mean, you need something for healing. When the Mistweaver runs out of mana.
True.
So, what, like, how does running this build beyond stats? So, it sounds like you want haste, and maybe unless you're going, like, all in Parslor, you want some haste, but not to the exclusion of everything else. Is that right?
Yeah. So, I think if you're running Rising Mist as just sort of a general sort of play style thing, you want to run haste until the spec feels comfortable. I hate that answer because it's kind of a cop-out, but... the general consensus, and it's something I agree with, is around 20% haste. The spec, like the build, feels really good, and anything on top of that's icing. I think you'd prioritize getting to about 20% haste, and then focus on crit. In my opinion, crit synergizes really, really well with this build because it, if you're running one of our traits, Uplifting Spirits, it reduces the cooldown on revival by 1 second for every crit. And since you have, for every crit of Vivify, and since we have so many instances of Vivify happening throughout the fight because of
that applies to the cleaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I was running it on Nazoth, and I was averaging, with a Visions Miner, mind you, I was averaging a little less than, it's like a minute and 50 second cooldown for revival. So it helps you get to these certain breakpoints that are really important.
If you really go like super all into the haste side and get, you know, your secondary stat is crit, you can get your revival cooldown to sub 1 minute, I've seen.
Yeah.
But that's still in the Parse Lord, don't really do this for raid because you normally have your cooldowns planned out kind of style.
Yeah. That's
but really... also this... Yeah, but also this makes your mastery basically useless. Like, there's no reason to take any mastery.
Really, I would think... So, remind me, what does Mistweaver Mastery actually do?
The Mistweaver Mastery is essentially an additional heal on any targeted spell you cast. And with Soothing Mist, because it's a channel, it's like a 1 in 8 chance to get a proc in a deck system. So if I cast Soothing or Vivify onto you, you'll get the Vivify heal and a Gust of Mist heal, which is the name of our mastery.
So because you're not doing a whole lot of targeted healing, you're filling more globals with Blackout Strikes and Rising Sun Kicks, you're going to just get the value of mastery.
And not only that, but a larger percentage of the targeted heals that we do like are going to be affected by other stats, right? So if I'm hitting a Vivify with only two cleaves, then the mastery hit on there is like a pretty significant part of the heal. But if I'm hitting a Vivify on seven targets, then that mastery is almost like it's not doing nearly as much as, say, crit or verse.
Got you. Yeah. I think a lot of specs are in a similar situation on the damage end because of interactions between crit and versatility with corruption damage and trinkets and Azurite traits that your main stat and mastery generally don't. So what else does this change about your build? Are there different talents that you run? Different essences?
You can change one other talent. Or like two other talent rows, I should say. Typically, people will change Chi Burst over to Mist Wrap because they're just hitting Enveloping Mist more and keeping it going, which Mist Wrap increases your Enveloping Mist time by a second and increases the healing boost it does. So if you're hitting it more, why not just have a bigger boost on it? And then the other talent they change is typically on the tier 90 talent, you have Jade Serpent Statue, Chi-Gi, and Refreshing Jade Wind. And typically you'll take Refreshing Jade Wind, but this is like, you need to hit it like once every like 8 seconds, and it costs a little chunk of mana. But with Rising Mist, you'll get enough Renewing Mists out where Vivify just outpaces Refreshing Jade Wind. So you'll just replace it, all those Refreshing Jade Wind casts with Vivify because it's more. So you'll move to something like Jade Serpent Statue for passive tank healing, or Chi Ji just because you really don't want to press a GCD and you want to do more fishing for resets.
Interesting. When was the last time Chi Ji was actually a good talent? Was it Legion?
Yeah, it was Legion. And like pretty early in Legion too.
Yeah, later Legion Chi Ji was just a big joke. Like you would take it so you could potentially get three Chi Ji's out at a time because we had a legendary that would randomly proc Chi Ji for like 12 seconds or something.
Do you by any chance take the talent, and maybe this is a standard talent, I'm just completely clueless, the talent that refunds mana when you blackout kick? Is that what it does?
Some people, no, it's kind of like that, but not exactly. Some people have been taking it, but they've not been getting as much mana as they would if they took Manatee, because the way Spirit of the Crane works is that only the blackout kicks from Teachings of the Monastery refund mana. So you have to hit Tiger Palm 1 to 3 times and then blackout kick to get any mana back. If you just hit blackout kick, you get 0 mana back. And what a lot of these people are doing is they'll hit RSK and then blackout kick. And if they don't get the reset, then they'll do like a Tiger Palm or any spell and then blackout kick again. So they're getting maybe 0.65% of their mana back over like 4 GCDs. And if it's like, I think it's like for them, it's like if RSK is below 50%, they just don't try to fish. They'll just like go into healing mode. So it's like either you're healing or you maybe get very little mana back. When Manatee is 1 GCD every minute and a half and you can save like 14, 15, even more thousand mana in like a 12 second window.
Gotcha. So you still just run Manatee, at least for raid healing?
In Mythic Plus 2 typically, just due to the fact that it's like you are casting more Enveloping Mist, but not a crazy, crazy amount to make it worth it for keys.
On that note,
the only time that you might want to run a Spirit of the Crane over Manatee, for example, is if you're not able to hit good Manatee windows, right? So if the fight's damage pattern makes it so that you're pushing the cooldown of Manatee back, like instead of it being like a 1.5 minute cooldown, it's effectively like a 2 minute cooldown or a 2.5 minute cooldown, then you might see some Spirit of the Crane play, because it's just you can get in little bursts of mana wherever you can instead of all in that one cooldown. But we haven't seen a fight that allows for that yet.
Got you. Yeah. How can you play this in Mythic Plus, or does the cap on number of players mean that it's not worth it?
Typically,
no. This is the default for Mythic Plus, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, typically in Mythic Plus before, you would have 2 or 3 Renewing Mists out, maybe 4 if you were preparing, meaning you can vivify the whole group if you have 4, because you target one person and you just cleave the rest who have Renewing Mists. But now you're able to maintain essentially 5 Renewing Mists the whole dungeon, and if anyone takes damage, you can heal the whole group up at the same time for a decent amount, and then you get a pick who gets healed more while everyone else still gets good healing. And it pushes Enveloping Mist up a bit more, because you can just slap that on a tank on the fight like Galv and just never focus him and he's going to be fine. Or you can just put more out and just never focus them and they'll be fine.
In your totally not at all biased opinions, how does this compare to Glimmering Keys?
Glimmer can be a little spooky in Keys, because you know, if your cooldowns are down and things are going really, really wrong, you're kind of, you know, you don't have a lot of options. But Mistweaver in Keys, unless you're screwing up or you haven't been able to hit something in a long time, then you don't have a lull in power, right? The group always has Renewing Mist across everyone, and the tank can pretty reasonably have a huge uptime on Enveloping Mist. So yeah, like for fights like in what's the like maggot boss in Underrot, anytime he tantrums, it's like it's a dream healing on a Mistweaver now, because you just sit there and hit Vivify and the whole group is getting healed no matter what. It feels really good.
Damn, that sounds nice.
Yeah. There's no more like chasing the boss with Way of the Crane active and praying that everyone who's hurt actually gets healed, or like healing 3 out of the 5 people and you just hit defensives because you have unlimited defensives on that fight.
That sounds really good. I am 100% going to throw somebody's key sometime this weekend by trying it out. You did mention like one Azerite trait, but in contrast to Glimmer, this sounds like something where there's not really a gear requirement for it. You just kind of you pick the talents and you push the buttons and it works in theory.
It's like a gear requirement in a different way, because you want to have some haste, so it's like it doesn't matter where it comes from. It's not like you're trying to find these 3 exact pieces because they all have Glimmer on them and they give you your other talents that you need so you can extend your wings by 5 seconds and whatnot. It's just kind of like get some haste and you can do it with whatever. Like that can, all that haste can come from your rings, because those Mechagon rings pack like 400 each.
So what you're saying is my zero haste Brewmaster set is probably not ideal for this.
Not ideal, but if you're doing it in a key, you don't need as much haste because there's only 5 targets. Like I've been toying around with like 15 and below percent haste on keys, and I'm having relatively good uptime on like 5 targets of Vivify or Renewing Mist.
That's really cool. I know back in BFA beta, I read the peak post about the kick weaving build and tried it out some and was very disappointed with it at that time. But I've always thought it was really cool. So I'm excited to see it actually do a thing now and be competitive.
Yeah. And on the topic of Azerite, actually, a lot of our Azerite is just kind of a generic, like, here's a little bit of something, not like, you know, gain this throughout the fight or something, like Glimmer or something. You know what I'm saying here. It's just kind of like flat stats, doesn't really alter your playstyle. But there are some really nice ones and some traits that could be really nice if they, you know, fix them for it. Like we have Overflowing Mist, which is by far the worst Azerite in the whole game. You will never take it because essentially
that one.
It's when someone has Enveloping Mist and they get hit, they get a heal. But it has an internal cooldown of 1 second. So this heal can only happen once a second.
Yep. They added that internal cooldown because of Brewmasters. I was there when we were like, wait a second, this is busted, because it was triggering greater than once every half second. It was absolutely bonkers.
But the issue with Overflowing Mist and Rising Mist is that since Overflowing Mist in itself is its own hot, like a buff, when you extend Enveloping Mist, it doesn't realize that, and it's just like, oh, you're when you cast it, it's 6 seconds is the remaining, so I'm only going to be here for 6 seconds. So you can extend it for a minute and a half, but you only had 6 seconds of Overflowing Mist at the start.
So if it were it's to extend correctly, would it actually become a good Azerite trait?
Potentially, depending on how long you truly extend it. Like if you're extending Enveloping Mist for a very long time, maybe. Probably not, but like, because then you come into other Azerites, because if you're extending it for that long, you're getting a lot of Renewing Mists out, which then means Uplifted Spirits, which does reduce Revival's cooldown by a second for each crit of Vivify. It also just increases Vivify's healing flat. So it's like you're just increasing all your healing by a baseline rather than to this one target. So like it could see some play on bosses that were like smacking the tank hard, but probably not.
Got you. So switching gears a little bit, I know Dobbs, you had mentioned that this build is particularly good, and especially the high haste build is very good on a boss like Mount, but that's very early in the instance. And that, you know, it doesn't seem very good on Nuzoth specifically because of the length of the fight. Are there other bosses in this instance that you would say, you know, hey, you probably shouldn't run Rising Mists?
Oh, so if you're, you should run Rising Mist for literally every single piece of content that you do in this game, except for maybe PvP, I don't know. It's just the high haste build specifically that I wouldn't recommend on high on longer fights or fights that you aren't sure that you're going to get a large amount of external mana. I ran Rising Mist on everything. I think it's damn near required for N'Zoth in order to hit certain cooldown windows using our Azerite traits. So I don't see a downside to it. It's basically just upwelling, but with more damage and more throughput potential.
Cool.
The only time you would ever not take it is if for some reason you had nothing to kick for long periods of time, and you had terribly low uptime on a boss, because then you're kind of throwing the trade away.
Right. Might also be an issue, I imagine, if you're running with a group that has a particularly melee-heavy roster.
Potentially. I could see, from last tier, potentially Queen's Court would be one of those fights you don't want to run it if you have a lot of melee. Because you have, a third of the, a fourth of the fight or something, where you're a healer, you can't be in melee.
But there's not a lot of that this tier, I don't believe, so.
No, not really. Every fight besides Rathion, you can basically have 100% melee uptime on. And even then on Rathion, during that small time, the damage isn't really that high, so it doesn't matter.
Got you. Yeah, so I'm curious what you two think of the direction that healers have gone this expansion. This is so... I guess a little bit of history. Disc wasn't always to do damage to healer. At one point they were just holy priest, but with shields, right? That was a long time ago.
Yeah, basically.
At some point they made the shift over to being the atonement playstyle that we know and love. And then this expansion, we had Glimmer Paladins come into being kind of in BOD when they realized how to put together that build with the Glimmer of Light trait on their Azerite pieces. Sounds like that is going to be made into a talent for Shadowlands, fingers crossed. Mistweaver is kind of the OG of doing damage to heal. That was one of their big selling points back in Mists, and for the first time, I think, since Mists, it's actually a thing again. What do you guys think of this kind of trend towards more healers getting the, I want to heal by doing damage?
Passively increasing healer DPS, or maybe not even passively, but increasing healer DPS through gameplay that allows us to continue to heal by offering a more complex or nuanced way for players to play is probably pretty good. If I were to put my tinfoil hat on, I'd say it's probably because some of the WoW devs have been playing Final Fantasy XIV and they realize how...
I was going to mention that.
How fun healers, being required to deal damage is. I don't know. I think it's a pretty healthy direction that the devs are taking healers, in that they seem to want us to do damage. Because you have a bunch of fights that are tuned in such a way that if healers aren't doing a bunch of damage, then you kind of just want to drop one, And so we've been seeing this trend of bosses requiring less and less healers just because they're tuned so incredibly tightly on the damage check that now they're like, okay, well, if we give healers a little bit of damage, we sort of alleviate that problem for the raids that do that sort of stuff.
I remember the memes about the trend in healers this expansion. We went from 5 healing Gahoon to 4 healing Jaina to 3 healing Queen Azura. So obviously we're going to be 2 healing N'Zoth. That isn't quite how it played out.
Yeah, I think the devs got scared, and there was a week where they just slapped on a ticking damage aura to N'Zoth, and we're like, all right, we got to do this.
Good luck, guys. Try to 3 heal this one.
But I definitely remember that being actually a little bit of an issue early on in Ashvane progression last year for my guild, where we were like, well, we would like to 4 heal this because the healing requirement is still pretty big. There's a lot of damage to heal on that fight. But also, the DPS check was so much more important that we ended up just sticking with. At that point, we had two Holy Paladins and a Disc Priest on the roster. So we just were like, you're healing it every week until our gear is to the point that we can comfortably do it without any healer DPS.
Yeah, I mean, hell, I was a Brewmaster for that fight. I had to run around and soak orbs.
Yeah.
I mean, on the topic of the direction of healers doing damage, I think Mistweaver plays it out the best. Because it's like, you have this super viable, super fun play style of being able to do damage and get healing and all this. But you also, like, you have to, or you don't want to play that style, you can still go back to upwelling just fine.
And that's in contrast to Holy Paladin,
Glimmer,
right? Where, like,
yeah,
if you're not playing Glimmer, you're not playing Holy.
Yeah, and it's like, if you look at Disc, it's like, or Priest, you bring one to a raid and you're like, you're playing Disc, right? And they say no, and you're like, oh, this is awkward now. You're not actually playing the game.
So I know neither of you are Priest mains, but what do you think the difference is between, like, what makes upwelling fine in a Rising Mist world that doesn't also apply to Holy Priests?
To me, it's the fact you have to change specs entirely. Like, for Mistweaver, you just change a talent, you're fine. For Priest, you literally have to change to a whole different spec, get new buttons and all that.
Yeah, so I think, if I'm understanding what you mean, why shouldn't Holy also have, like, a talent, for example, that would allow them a little more passive?
No, what I'm trying to get at is, like, so upwelling is still a viable playstyle now, right? Even though Rising Mist is sounds like better, higher skill cap, but you can still play upwelling and be fine a lot of the time. Holy doesn't have that, and maybe this is just my perception, but Holy doesn't have that, like,
oh yeah, so better. So yeah, the reason being there is, like, sort of the same reason why you wouldn't take a Mistweaver over a Disc either, right? It's like Disc, they bring so much. They just bring way more. You've got damage reductions, damage preventions. You've got insane burst throughput. You've got passive damage. You know, like, Holy does a lot of healing. Like, they're one of the highest throughput healers in the game, but it doesn't matter how hard you can heal if you needed a bubble or a barrier to prevent someone from dying, you know? So if that's also to say that, like, the Holy's healing isn't that much higher than Disc's either. I think in a lot of cases it's lower. So I don't know. There's just a lot of problems plaguing Holy when it's in the face of the best healing spec in the game.
So it's a tuning issue, more or less, is what you're saying.
I suppose so.
I see your point, yeah, about things like barrier and pain suppression in particular is a big one.
It's sort of the same reason why you couldn't justify an end tier progression boss if you were, like, the officer. You couldn't justify bringing in, like, a druid, a Mistweaver, a shaman, and a holy priest, because you're like, okay, well, where's our damage reductions? Where's our shields? Where's our big, you know, raid-wide cooldowns that are going to save us from a hit? You need D.Va aura, you need barrier, you need those sort of things. And while two specs in the game have sort of a monopoly on those, I think we're going to see pretty stagnant healer metas of priest, you know, double priest or priest paladin X in any sort of comp.
I mean, if we look back at, like, old Deer, if I'm not mistaken, Paladin was, like, a significantly below, like, Mistweaver and everyone else in HPS, but they were still brought to, like, world first kills just due to the fact they have D.Va aura.
So it really, that I guess really answers my question in that the reason upwelling is still fine, even when Rising Mist is available, is that you're giving up damage, effectively, is all you give up. And you still have good HPS. You don't really give up anything else on the spec, where something like Holy Priest, you're not just giving up the damage. You're giving up the damage and the DRs and the big raid cooldowns and the shields and on.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of a situation where those sort of specs, like Paladin and like Tisk, as long as they can be somewhat competitive. Like, it doesn't matter if a Mistweaver is doing like 20% more healing than them. If they can heal the damage away and make sure that people aren't dying in the process, then they're probably going to have a raid spot pretty much guaranteed.
So it might be a little bit early for this question, but how do you want to see this evolve as we head into eventually 9.0?
That's a hard one, because they said they're going to do some unpruning, and there's not a lot to unprune for Mistweaver, because just we haven't had the same amount of time in the game compared to like druids and basically every other spec besides Demon Hunter. So if they do do some unpruning, they're probably going to lean to give us something back that we want that depended on chi, and then we probably will get chi back.
Just give Brewmaster and Mistweaver chi back. Please, for the love of God.
Please, God. Please. Give me back alternate resources, man. Like,
Brewmaster doesn't even care about their primary resource right now. Just give me something.
Yeah. Brewmaster just a cooldown based spec now.
So you don't even have to care about your brews. That's like your tertiary stat or resource too. Your primary, you don't have a secondary.
For the problems that this is the wrong podcast for today.
Yeah. Basically, exactly what I've said. Mistweavers, the only things really that Mistweavers have lost have been things that we've lost in like a huge from the ground up class rework. So if we were to get them back, outside of just utility stuff, like, you know, maybe they give us back our spear hand strike kick, or maybe Mistweavers get touch of death back, or one of those things. Outside of that, I don't know what the devs could do to unprune us that wouldn't just completely break the spec at the moment with how it's designed. So I'm not sure what they're going to do. I would like to see, and this is just like a greedy wish list of mine, I'd like to see Spirit of the Crane be made baseline. It would be cool to have sort of like, because once we lose essences, there's going to be like a huge mana deficit in how we play, because we depend so heavily on things like Lucid and Ever Rising Tide to give us mana back throughout the fight. So I would really like to have a little bit of spare mana in Spirit of the Crane.
Maybe even give it a little boost. That's my wish list on that one.
Just yeah, buff boost. It so that it's competitive with Manatee, you know? Heck.
Just make it so I don't pick Manatee because it's better. Make it so it's like I can play to make Spirit of the Crane better. Rose? I mean, essentially for all of this expansion, Mistweaver's just been a one talent row. And then it's like you have a maybe if the tanks are dying.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that problem. Brewmaster's been in a very similar situation.
And don't even get me started on Focus Thunder.
That's the other talent on the last row, right?
Yes.
How bad is it?
You get one extra spell empowered by Thunder Focus T every 30 seconds. And it does not work with Secret Infusion, which is a talent that's when you use a spell that is empowered by Thunder Focus T, you get some stats.
Oh, no.
A lot of stats. So essentially, you gain nothing in the adds. Like, it doesn't work with anything else in your kit. It just gives you an extra charge. And typically in Raid, with the Upwelling build, that's essentially one free Vivify every 30 seconds. And then if you weren't taking Upwelling or Rising Mist, it's one free Vivify every 30 seconds.
It's also pretty frustrating in that it doesn't even give an extra charge in the same way that you would expect it to, right? Like, I would have thought the talent gives you,
second charge of the ability.
Yeah, like that would make it a little better, right? Because then you have more flexibility over how you use it. It still wouldn't be great, but like right now, it's just like I have to use two spells back to back. And if, you know, I didn't want to use certain spells, like, I don't know, it's really weird.
It used to be the default for dungeons just because everything else was terrible in dungeons. It's like,
yeah, not everything else didn't do anything, you know?
Yeah, it's like this one's the least bad. Like, I guess we'll give it the gold star here.
Well, maybe in 9.0 we'll get a good talent or a fixed Focus Thunder or something to make that talent competitive.
Maybe they'll remove it. That'll be a good time.
maybe they'll just surprise us and revert Mistweaver back to Mists of Pandaria or Warlords.
That would be a dream.
Wouldn't that be something? They just go, okay, everyone, we all log on to Shadowlands Alpha or Beta or whatever.
And I've got out of back, and
it's just 5.2 classes again.
Just for monks, though. Just for monks. They gotta bring us back to the. They gotta bring us back. It was our time.
Bring back guard. Let's go.
Isn't that a talent right now?
Don't get me started. Is there anything else you want to say about Rising Mist or Mistweavers or the raid or the patch before we wrap things up?
I guess, like, generally, Dobbs mentioned this, but I don't know how hard he touched on it, but it's like Azerite has basically been, or not Azerite, but essences basically don't change even for your build. Like, you're the same for essences, and like it was such an interesting system looking at it, and then like realizing that it's like, okay, you basically take Lucid, Major, ERT, Minor, and then you can play with the rest, and like, you know, maybe take CNS if you want extra verse, like take Vitality Conduit if you want to like make some everyone be a little bit more even on health, or Ward if you are stacked. But it's like the rest of it's just like there's a core base on it, and there's no real wiggle room in that core base.
Got you. So it's really a static talent build, static essence build, with some minor variations, you know. Now, the biggest variation being, do you run Rising Mists or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was throwing a fit back during the beta because they removed a very unique interaction with one of the new essences. It's called the Spirit of Preservation. It buffed Vivify. It gave you a stacking buff that buffed Vivify's next heal, and it used to affect all cleaves. And I was real upset when they removed that and made it only affect your main cleave. But now that I see how prevalent the haste build is becoming, I imagine that's probably what they saw and why they removed it, because yikes, I can't imagine how strong that would have been.
And just for reference, if I'm not mistaken, it was like a flat heal to every part of your Vivify heal and gave it 20% extra crit.
Yeah, stacking up to 100%. It was pretty strong if you were just taking like a... It was reasonable if you're just taking like the normal Vivify approach, like the normal Rising Mist approach. But if you're getting a ton of, you know, haste out there, I don't know.
Where you have like, I've seen up like peaking up to 19... renewing mists at a time, like just it was for a flash. But wow. If you're getting there, you're probably going to be able to get a Vivify out with 17 targets, and that's 17 seconds off of your
that
revival.
One Vivify would do more healing than a revival.
Hey, come
probably.
On, man.
Hey, but revival was buffed by 12.5%.
Let's go, baby.
They should have given
me another 25%.
They should have given it the Life Cocoon treatment and made it scale with your max HP.
See, this is something like a lot of people in the Mist Lounge have been talking about, is just doing away with the idea of revival and giving us like a different throughput that's like cooldown that's really monk relevant, like giving the like raid stagger for 10 seconds.
Yeah, something. If I were to change revival at all, I would just want it to have like different secondary stat scaling, you know? Like the fact that it doesn't scale with haste or mastery is a little silly to me. I think it should scale with at least one of them.
You mean like have its cooldown reduced by haste or something?
Sure, or just like increase its healing by a percentage of haste or something, you know? Like, you know, fire mages get whatever when they're combusting, their crit, excess crit becomes mastery or whatever. Like, just do something so that I don't feel like I'm trolling my revivals by, you know, if I have to stack anything except for crit burst.
I got you, yeah. Well, this has been really interesting. I'm actually curious to try out Rising Mists and Keys now, although I haven't healed one as a Mistweaver since 8.1, so I might be a little rusty.
Don't worry, not much has changed. Just RSK as much as you can, and you're good.
I guess I got one more question before we wrap things up. that one Windwalker Azurite trait that increases your RSK damage, does that still work, and is it worth using in keys?
Are you talking about the Glory of the Dawn where it has a 25% yes. chance? No. Never has worked with Rising Mist, because it's a different spell at procs, not an actual RSK.
Oh, sorry. No, not that one.
Sunrise Technique.
Sunrise Technique, that's it.
Where it like throws a little dot on whoever you RSK, and the next damage event, it just does some damage.
Yeah, so that works with Way of the Crane, I believe, if you want to...
Really quite well.
Yeah, you can get some pretty insane numbers. You know, if you start a pack, you know, Thunder Focus, and then do two kicks and then Spinning Crane Kick, then you can get some pretty big numbers there. But it doesn't synergize at all with Rising Mist. So,
got you. All right, then let's go ahead and wrap things up here. Then thank you both for joining me today for this. It's been enlightening. If you, the listener, have enjoyed this, you can support this podcast and everything else that the Peak of Serenity does over at peakofserenity.com, which has links to the Patreon and PayPal to support the site and the work that we do. With all that said, have a good night.
Night, folks.
See you.